From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Audie Cornish. As the Supreme Court prepares to take up two major cases this week dealing with gay marriage, there's a lot of talk about the rapid change in public opinion. According to a Washington Post ABC News poll, 58% of Americans now believe gay marriage should be legal. That's just about the same amount that 10 years ago thought it should not be legal. That seismic shift in sentiment is reflected throughout American culture. And as NPR's Lynn Neary tells us, you can track it by looking at the life and career of one pop culture icon, Ellen DeGeneres.
In 2008, during the brief window when it was legal for gays to get married in California, perhaps no couple drew more attention than Portia de Rossi and Ellen DeGeneres. A video of their wedding day captures the moment the two women first saw each other.
You look beautiful. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Afterwards, photos of the couple were everywhere. DeGeneres beaming in a white suit, holding hands with De Rossi. The very picture of the princess bride so many young girls dream of being one day. It was a cultural touchstone that made gay marriage seem more normal. Dietram Scheufele, a communications professor at the University of Wisconsin, says it was neither the first nor the last time DeGeneres has played that role.
Ellen DeGeneres is an interesting, almost a litmus test of where we've been as a society. When she first came out and really put the issue of same-sex partnerships on, I think, people's agenda, and I mean people who otherwise wouldn't have thought about it, I think the country was still in a very different state.
The country was in a very different state when Ellen DeGeneres made her TV debut on The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson in 1986. That same year, the Supreme Court had ruled that states' anti-sodomy laws were constitutional. The AIDS epidemic was at its height. And while there was already a burgeoning gay rights movement, a lot of homosexuals were not ready to come out of the closet. Ellen DeGeneres was not about to break any barriers. Her personality was warm and non-threatening. Her comedy was safe.
That whole fitness thing runs in my family, though, I think. My grandmother started walking 5 miles a day when she was 60. She's 97 today, and we don't know where the hell she is.
Nearly a decade later, in 1994, DeGeneres was still very much in the closet when her sitcom Ellen went on the air. She had a gawky, tomboyish persona, but her fans seemed to have no trouble seeing her as a young single woman who just happened to be unlucky in love.
You want to know what your problem is, Ellen?
No.
You're too picky. I mean, you always look for a man's faults. Greg was too nice. Roger watched too much TV. Carl was a drag.
Drag queen, mother. Drag queen. There's a difference.
DeGeneres' desire to stay in the closet made sense, says Scheufele. In those days, you couldn't make it in show business if you were gay.
I think it's just that we as a society had been in this mode for so long that if you're in Hollywood, if you have any success in entertainment, you obviously fit the gender stereotypes. And I think that's something that at the time was just not questioned.
In 1996, the same year the Defense of Marriage Act was passed, DeGeneres was so deep in the closet, she made a movie called Mr. Wrong, playing a lonely young woman who goes out with a guy who turns out to be crazy because she feels so pressured to get married.
Don't worry, Martha. You'll be the next one.
Okay, Aunt Belinda, thank you. Oh, she's drunk.
1 year later, gay marriage had not disappeared from the national conversation, and Ellen DeGeneres was no longer willing to be stuffed in the closet. She decided to come out on her sitcom. She was condemned by the religious right, sponsors pulled their advertising from the show, and DeGeneres ended up on the cover of Time magazine.
What's wonderful about her as a cultural figure is that it works so wonderfully alongside political activism. So there's political activism and cultural change going on at the same time.
Jessica Hallam is a comedian and gay activist. She says it is no accident that it was a comedian who took the conversation about homosexuality to a new level.
That's their role, is to be the jester, the fool, who says, let me talk about things that you might not be talking about yourself, and let me invite you into that conversation.
On the sitcom, Ellen finally, awkwardly, came out of the closet in an airport waiting room.
Why can't I say the word? I mean, why can't I just say...
As Ellen struggles to admit she is gay to a woman she's attracted to, she accidentally leans over an open mic and announces it to the whole waiting room.
I am. I'm 35 years old. I'm so afraid to tell people. I mean, I just... Susan, I'm gay.
Remember that scene which is just so beautiful because there's nothing like telling somebody you're gay and then it goes silent. But for her to say, I'm gay, and it's a laugh line, and, you know, it lets us laugh. It lets us release some of the anxiety. It's just a really perfect moment for all of us to get to sort of breathe. Oh, my God, that's over, you know.
Perhaps the biggest cultural shock that resulted from this very famous and public coming out was that it did not ruin DeGeneres' career. The Ellen Show didn't last too much longer, but DeGeneres' career took off, and mainstream America followed. Now she has her own talk show, has hosted the Emmys and the Oscars, been a judge on American Idol, and, Jessica Hallam points out, she's a spokesperson for companies like JCPenney and CoverGirl.
Who thought we would have a lesbian selling makeup?
Hey, wrinkle face.
That's what people could say if you're still using a liquid foundation that can settle into your lines and wrinkles and make you look older.
Like an apricot.
Or a prune.
And I like both. I just don't want to look like one.
Hallam says she is still amazed by how widely accepted DeGeneres is.
It blows me away when I turn on her show and I see her in a vest and tie dancing with housewives from Ohio. And as an Ohioan, I know them, right? And she loves them and they love her. It's wonderful.
But even Ellen DeGeneres can't win over everyone with her charm. Last year, there was an organized protest against JCPenney for using DeGeneres as a spokesperson. In another sign of how much things have changed, the company stood by her, the same company that pulled its advertising from The Ellen Show when DeGeneres came out 15 years ago. Still, that vocal minority that would rather not see Ellen DeGeneres selling clothes is likely to keep fighting gay marriage, even if a majority of Americans no longer opposes it.
I'll tell you, for many reasons, I'm feeling good. I'm feeling that there's a smile on my face, there's a spring in my step, and there's a ring on my finger. And that's right.
Lynn Neary, NPR News, Washington.
This is NPR News.
And, of course, there are other things on TV right now besides basketball. For a while, in fact, it seemed like there was going to be a bit of a renaissance of musical dramas. Glee was a hit, and new shows, Smash and Nashville, were set to win audiences, too. But TV critic Eric Deggan says they have all fallen flat in different ways.
Here's my biggest problem with TV musicals. In real life, nobody just bursts into song. But ABC's Nashville solves that problem with a setting in country music's capital city. It's the perfect setup for a contemporary musical with folks in concert stages and recording sessions and in nightclubs. The only problem is that may not be enough. The stars are Raina James, an experienced legend, equal parts Reba McEntire and Shania Twain, and a bratty young upstart named Juliet Barnes. They often clash, but when they work together, it brings hit-making magic. For Nashville, that was the right song. It was a hit on the show, and it sounds like it could be a hit in real life. And if you really want to appreciate how hard that is to pull off, consider a few other musical TV shows which aren't so successful, like NBC's musical about the making of a Broadway musical, Smash.
Here she is, Miss Marilyn Monroe.
Like Nashville, Smash should have no problem offering plausible reasons why characters would burst into song. But Smash commits a cardinal sin. The songs keep the star from living up to her own billing.
Here I am, I dropped in from the sky, for looking life and all the boys from Pekin UPI.
Catherine McPhee's Karen Cartwright is supposed to be a novice with talent powerful enough to stop traffic. But sometimes Smash's songs keep her from delivering those kinds of performances. It makes you wonder why everyone thinks she's so great in the first place. Small wonder NBC is burying this show on Saturdays come April 6th. But if you need a poster child for TV's musical fatigue, it's probably the show that started the mini-genre, Glee. These days, the cover tunes often sound routine as the show itself. ABC's Nashville avoids the mistakes of Glee and Smash, so why don't I love it more than I do? I suspect part of the problem is star Connie Britton as Raina James. Though she shines while fighting with her husband or battling her corrupt father, Britton never quite seems as comfortable commanding a stage. But what keeps me coming back is the songs, curated by acclaimed producer and songwriter T-Bone Burnett. When the story says two aspiring musicians turn heads by playing a beautiful ballad, we get a head-turningly beautiful ballad.
These days my best laid plans are built on shifting sands. It's not like I don't know you said goodbye.
Ultimately, that's all you really want from a musical show. Music that's seamless and keeps you immersed in the story.
Can't find the strength to stand alone.
Eric Deggans is the TV and media critic for the Tampa Bay Times. This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montagne.
And I'm David Green.